How about that production team? 40 seconds and they built all this. Like, that's incredible.
It's like NASCAR.
Yeah, it's like a NASCAR pit crew or something up here. Yeah, we hire them out. They'll redo your whole living room in like 7 minutes. It's crazy if you want.
In the dark.
Yeah, if you want wallpaper, that's another 90 seconds. It's awesome. Decatur City, thanks for being here today. Every once in a while, we kind of mix it up. You know, we just feel like people take in content in different ways and do different things. And so we mix it up a little bit sometimes, and we have kind of a conversation rather than a sermon, if you will. I'll let you know. Sometimes people come up and are like, did that count? Was that a sermon? Do I get credit? I'm like, no, this is the sermon today. This is what it is. It's going to feel like a conversation, though. So we really felt like we're going to have a little bit of a fireside chat today. Because this is part two of a series that we've been in called Something More. I kicked it off last week, and you can go back on our website, DecaturCity.org, and watch that message if you want to. But my typical premise, my premise last week was, we watched the life of Paul. Paul was this apostle that was a Pharisee. He knew all the things, but really wasn't changed until he had a radical encounter with Jesus. And so we asked the question, what happens when you literally have a come to Jesus with Jesus face to face? And we watched his life to see what happens and what he prioritized. Even though he knew all the things, what did he do when he really started to follow Jesus? And we broke that out into three categories. One is that we watched how the importance of community rose up in Paul. To have a group of people that you do life with that know everything about you, they know the real you, the authentic you. And we watched how Paul was very consistent and very intentional about the relationships that he had. We watched also, too, how the concept of what we called commission rose up in Paul, meaning that commission is, I'm on a mission here. I'm not just in life. I didn't just end up here, but I've been sent here, and I have a purpose, and I have a reason, and I'm wired in a certain way to help out our community and help out our world. We watched how Paul said about himself in 1 Corinthians, he said, you know, I'm a free man. I can do whatever I want to, but I've chosen to become a servant to the world around me so that I might win others to know Christ, but also to help the world. And that's what commission is to knowing whether it be here in the church, whether it be in your community, your neighborhood, your office, that you're sent there and you have an intentionality when you wake up every day going like, God can use me in some sort of way, even in my perfection, and even in some ways that I don't feel qualified to do so. The third element that we saw in Paul's life was what we call connection, and that is that we watched how Paul ordered his life so that he might feel more connected with God in the way that he worshiped, in the way he prayed, and we're going to talk about that next week, and one of my favorite communicators is coming next week to talk about that with us. But today we're going to talk about those first two a little bit more. We're going to do a little bit of a deeper dive into the elements of community and also to in the commission in your life and how we serve. And to do that, I've got two of my favorite people that are on staff. I'm going to let them introduce themselves more fully, but Krista Glasscock has been on our staff. A lot of you know Krista. They're big fans out there. And then also to David Thaxton as well. They're two of the best people you're going to ever meet. And so I would love for you guys to give me a little bit, give me the quick 30-second Lifetime movie bio of yourself, Krista. Tell me, and then David, tell me a little bit about yourselves.
Awesome. Well, I've been on staff for about 21 years, and I've attended one of our churches for about 24, 25 years. Started up at North Point and kind of followed around until we started moving in town to where I live. But I actually live in Grant Park. I'm originally from North Alabama, but I've lived in Grant Park for about 16 years, and I've lived in Atlanta about 25. And I have been on staff here at Decatur City Church for the last 3.5 years, and I am our staff director, and I also work on our adults team, specifically with groups and care.
Yeah, great. Dave?
David Thaxton, been here right at 1.5 years, work on our groups team with Krista, and then also work in Intersect, which most people know as Be Rich. Been here 18 months and came from Savannah, where we're originally from. A friend of mine actually started coming here, met a lot of these wonderful folks, met Krista, found out about the role that I'm in now, literally put me in a text with her without my permission and said, hey, I'm going to disrupt your life today. You need to meet this lady and find out about this role they've got. And then, you know, here we are, you know, after all this time.
So, and then Krista texted you eventually and said, hey, are you interested in pursuing a role?
Well, she texted right away, but I was ghosting her for a while because honestly, I was kind of...
How long was that, Krista, before he returned?
It was at least 3 months.
3 months you held her on hold there, and then you finally text back and were like, sorry, I was busy for 3 months.
I was scared, you know? Yeah. But we landed in Medlock, so we're right here in the neighborhood and have loved being here, you know, being part
of Decatur. David and Meg and the whole crew have been a gift to our staff. So, all right, I want to jump in and talk a little bit about community because, you know, I know your job descriptions are about helping people find intentional and authentic and consistent community. And we do a part of our strategy, as I talked about last week, we believe in community so much is that it's a big piece of our strategy as our church. We create community groups, we keep small groups, and then these two plus others really help that happen, along with a whole army of amazing small group leaders. And so that's your job description. But also, too, I would really say even before that, your lives reflect the importance of community. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason you do these jobs is because you believe in sitting people together and having people go not just on the superficial, but go to this next tier of life as well.
For sure.
Talk about a little bit why you believe in community so much and maybe how your life has led you there.
Yeah. Gosh, my first Sunday that I attended, I ended up in Alpharetta at North Point, and I had only knew about the church because of the large singles ministry at the time. And a friend of mine, I traveled all the time, and I called him and I was like, I want you to take me to that church where you go to that thing on Tuesday night. So lived in downtown, picked him up in Vinings, and we drove to Alpharetta. And I was like, where is this place? And it was my first Sunday there, and Andy happened to get up, and he said, our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we do that is by getting people connected into a small group. And I sat there, and I was like, I need to be in one of those small groups. Very first Sunday. So a couple weeks later, I found myself in someone's home. We have the internet now, so it's much easier to get into a group, but not as awkward. And showed up there, got in my first group, and I have been doing groups ever since. So I've been in groups throughout 24 years. And I can even look back on that time and that first year or so. I remember at one point, I had been away with some friends, and I had a job where I traveled a lot, and I worked in Chicago all the time, and I was coming back from Chicago, and I remember just God speaking into my heart and being like, Krista, you are reading all the right things, but your actions are not any different than anyone else in this of the world. And that really convicted me, and just getting more involved and more into groups, God just really started to use that to change my heart and to start living my life differently. And many of you have heard my story before. I shared it last year, but 3.5 years ago, I actually was diagnosed with cancer, and I just realized as we were sitting there, it was almost 3 years to the date that I finished chemo, which was on Friday. So I came up like, thank you. Big milestone for me. But I had 12 weeks of chemo, and I went every week. And during that season, I literally had people in all different seasons of my life show up, from high school and college to the people that I have been in community groups with over the years. Someone was with me every single Monday while I got chemo, sat with me, picked me up at my house, which most of them was inconvenient to do that, took me to Piedmont and sat with me while I got my chemo infusions for 12 weeks in a row. So the impact of community for me has obviously just been very important. I mean, even had a friend who called someone else who had cancer and said, what does she need for chemo? Made an Amazon wish list, sent it out to a bunch of people. And I would come home when I was first diagnosed to dozens of packages on my front porch of just like lotion, ginger chews, mints, like things that I didn't even know that I was going to use really over the next year. And also just seeing my community come around me like that was just really important as well.
Yeah, and you know, your story, Krista, reminds me so much of how, you know, you were busy, you were traveling, you didn't have time for community, mm-hmm. you know, as if anybody ever does. To have an intentional time where you're really going to either, through a place like Decatur City, or just DIY on your own to create your own groups or to spend intentional time with people. But you did, and it was important when crisis hit, because mm-hmm. you would imagine that the day the diagnosis came in, that would have been a hard time to try to go like, well, I need some important people in my life. Mm-hmm. Let me go try to cultivate those relationships, because you had a running start into those relationships that had been taken intentionally to the next level. And when crisis showed up, it really benefited you. And it made all the difference. So, David, why you believe in community so much?
I was really lucky. I landed the first church I ever went to. It was the core of everything they did. Like, I didn't grow up in church, grew up in Savannah, like I said. My mom was a PK, a pastor's kid. She was one of 12. I've got dozens of cousins on one side of my family. And my mom was one of the ones that ran away from home. And then my dad, he grew up in the Church of Latter-day Saints, but wasn't practicing. And so, you know, when you have like a pastor's kid run away and a non-practicing Mormon come together, it's not exactly an equation for devout church attendance.
So the typical Southern story is not.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, we were around church enough, but it was one of those things where it had no life for us. I mean, my friends did it regularly on the weekend, that kind of thing. But when we went through a really hard time as a family, my mom, she was the rock. She brought us all together. And rather than falling apart, she returned to her childhood faith, renewed her faith in Christ. And my siblings and I all came to faith within a year. And so we were really lucky to land in this youth group that small groups was at the core, and we all grew from that. But then when I went to college, I just found a group. And so it became a part of my faith, right? It became a part of my walk with Christ. But then Megs and I get married, and we're, you know, going along in our life. And it wasn't until Megan and I did a married group together that we really, I mean, felt the power of groups in your life, like Krista was just describing, because we were in our early 20s. We'd started trying to have a family, and we get pregnant, and we made it all the way to 15 weeks. So we feel good. We plan a gender reveal. Our family's coming up for a party from Savannah. And we go to one of those little clinics where they will just tell you what the gender is. So we go in, it's a packed night, and for, you know, what we didn't understand, we couldn't, the baby wasn't in the right position to find the gender. And what we found out later is that particular office was not legally allowed to tell us that they saw that there was no heartbeat. And rather than telling us there, they called Megan, or they called our doctor, and our doctor called Megan at work the next day and broke this news to her. So she's absolutely shattered, and she calls me, and we're just devastated. And we had been in that married group long enough that we had already kind of started building the chemistry and trust, but it was still pretty surface level. But that was just a moment where everybody really showed us their true colors, and we really felt the presence of Christ in our life through the love that these people showed to us. I mean, it was the random stuff of the calls, the drop-ins, the meals, the things that they did, you know, because Megan had to just go through a procedure and everything, and so she had to heal after that, and so it was just a lot of recovery, and they just would show up for us in a lot of ways. But the thing for me, a lot of the guys in the group would come along, and it wasn't just, hey, here's a verse that I like. It was, hey, I want you to have this verse. Like they were giving it to me as a gift. I stood on this, or I clung to this, and I hope that you can do the same. So not only did the group bring out for me just the power of being present in each other's lives, but also on a more meaningful level, the power of Scripture to have it and to hold on to it.
You know? Yeah, it's so cool that both of your stories really tell the story of, you know, consistent community, yeah, and the benefit of it in crisis, yes, but the benefit of it in consistency, because probably there were moments where you weren't in crisis, but somebody else was. And so right now the tables were turned and you were becoming a gift to them as well. And yeah, that's part of why we believe in having those relationships. Because as we say it a lot of times, you know, no one's short of acquaintances around, you know, you, where you live. You know, you're not short of being around other people in your world. You have plenty of other people around you. It is that there's some break between having acquaintances and people that you know, and yeah, I've got their cell phone and I follow them online and those kind of things, and people that you really feel like can see the full you, the real you, the authentic you, and also too that really are institutionally in your world when the crisis hits. And so that's kind of the break between kind of acquaintance world and community world, what we call community. I want to get real a little bit and talk a little bit about the obstacles, because, you know, when you start talking about like, oh, have these intentional relationships, or come be in a community group, or just get together with some people in your life and move it to the next level, you know, all a bunch of stuff starts flowing in there that you're like, yeah, I don't know that I can do that, or I don't know that that's for me. So talk for a second about some of these obstacles that might prevent good community in people's lives, whether they be through the church or just through their world. What prevents people from being good community?
Yeah, I think on a real level, a lot of people just don't feel safe, which I love. That's
yeah,
part of
scary.
Our priority. Like, we're going to create a safe and predictable environment. I mean, it goes back to my dad. Like, I remember having a conversation with him in the truck down the road in my teens. Dad, all my friends go to church. Why don't we? I just asked the question finally. And his answer was so quick. He just said, because I don't need God to love those, or I don't need those people to love God. And he had an experience connected to that. And it's crazy because I'm about his same age now when he said that, and my story is exactly the opposite. I know that I love God more because of his people, but he and my mom tried to go to a church early on in their marriage. I don't even remember it, but he had experienced, right, the church for the first time in his life, really. So he was all excited. And they were going to one of those super conservative kind of dirt road churches that my mom grew up in. And my dad was a funny dude. He worked outside all day, but when it was time to go out, he was always dressed up. He'd always have his Aramis cologne on. He always liked the little beach shorts and have his shirt unbuttoned, little hamburger meat showing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he always had an environment where he smelled like Johnson & Johnson baby powder and Aramis cologne. That was like his thing. But he was loud. He was a big personality, had a real high-pitched laugh, but he was scary looking, big dude. But they had in that church those testimony moments, like, anybody want to testify about what God was doing, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. So my dad's like, me, right? So he gets up, and he's probably just excited and talking about what God's doing in his life. And some man come up to him after the service and said, if you really love God, you'll shave your beard, you'll put on pants, you know, because in that culture, their idea of personal holiness or devotion to God was connected to your dress code.
Yeah.
And that experience was enough for my dad to say, I don't need those people to love God. And I think on some level, people experience that, family members experience that, but it's a scary thing to talk to other people about what you really think about God, what you think about the church, how your life's going, how it's going versus how you thought it ought to go or how things should have went.
Yeah.
And, but when you experience that safety, when there's other people who meet you and they're saying, yeah, I'm with you. I don't fully understand who Jesus is either. I'm following him. We can follow him together. You get to experience something that I've experienced. I wish my dad had. That's why I'm so passionate about helping people find that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've had people tell me that I was nervous about my story until we got into a group or I sat down with other people and we all started sharing our stories. And then I was like, I felt better because
yeah.
I started hearing everybody else's story. And it's like, oh, I'm not the only one.
Right.
Krista, talk more about obstacles. What would you say people, or what are the obstacles that prevent people from getting a good community?
Yeah, I think one is time and just busyness.
Right.
I mean, we're all busy, but I just constantly think about, you know, my history and how people surrounded me, but I'm like, I'm too busy not to be in a group.
Yeah.
The impact that group has had, not only on my faith, but just personally and how people showed up for me. So, I mean, you've got to be intentional about it. You have to have the time. I mean, even when I was traveling all the time, I mean, I would rearrange my work schedule. And so that's one thing I want people to know about groups is that we have all different types of groups. Like we were talking to someone earlier, I know they travel for work. They have a 7 a.m. Friday group, you know? So, but yeah, the timing is a big thing for everyone, but you just have to prioritize it. And it's that important to, it is worth working your schedule around group for sure. And another one, you know, in addition just to the busyness, it's like, I know when I first got into a group, I was nervous because I felt like I didn't know enough. Like I'm going to be embarrassed when I go in there. But like David said, it's such a safe place to ask questions. And where else are you going to ask them other than the church if you can't come to your church friends and ask the hard questions? And so so I was just like, I don't know enough about the Bible. I kind of had I went to Catholic school growing up. We also went to the Methodist church with grandparents. And there was this Baptist and a charismatic church. So I had all these kind of voices speaking into me, shaping my faith as a young adult. And so I just had a lot of questions because there were just different things coming from, you know, different beliefs. And a lot of those I was able to get answered.
Yeah. I always feel like it's really important, you know, like I said, we built part of our strategy and our structure around putting people into community groups. But I always think it's important to let people know that we don't have the corner on the market in terms of community. You know, a lot of people have really good friends, good acquaintances, but, you know, they can DIY their own community if they need to. They can take the friends that they have and somebody can step forward and elevate that up so it becomes a little bit more intentional and a little bit more authentic and a little bit more focused toward their faith or toward navigating life together. So talk a little bit more about how someone might intentionally do that. You know, what does it mean to kind of DIY your community, to even gather people together and say, I would love to, even the people you've had a long run with, I would love to move us to the next level? Because it's important on a couple levels, especially for us guys, because we can spend, you know, 3 hours on a golf cart next to each other and never know anything deeper about somebody's life. And so it's really important, especially for guys. But talk a little bit about what's your best advice for DIYing, inviting the people that you have around you already into something deeper as well.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of different ways to do that. I mean, if you're a married couple and you want to have, you know, get some of your close friends together and do that, that's great. We can even add people to your group if you want to invite other people into that if you're wanting to build more community. One of the things that I've done in addition to my small group is I have two friends. We're really close, but we never get to see each other, just different lifestyles. And so we've made it a habit of twice a month. We meet at 7 a.m. at a coffee shop that's kind of in the middle of all of our works and workplaces. And so, but we're intentional with that time. We, you know, take books that maybe have been on our bookshelf that we need to dust off that one of us wants to read. You know, we've done books of the Bible, but a lot of that time is just getting together, catching up on life, holding each other accountable. So, you know, we definitely, like, we always talk about community is always going to be stickier when you're in a group with people you already have relationships with. And so, and also don't be scared to invite other people into that. Like you never know what God can do in and through you in your group. And you might also be in a season where you're like me when I was going through chemo, I couldn't physically go to a community group. It was in the middle of COVID, and I couldn't do that. But I had a couple of friends who really surrounded me in that time and, you know, continued to meet with me, and we would do things just so that I would have that time to study God's word or to read a book or just to really have even social interaction during that time.
Yeah, it's that intentionality, you know, to do that rather than just hoping it happens at some point. That somebody finally steps forward and says, hey, let's actually kind of get organized. And if it's okay, can I ask some harder questions of us? So go ahead, Dave. What's your advice?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, whether it's, you said, like an existing group or it's a group that like folks like us help you find, we encourage people show up, join in, be real. And I think at the heart of that, what takes relationships to a deeper point is you're just willing to ask for help. And that's in good times and bad. But you're also willing to receive help. Because sometimes, like we've already shared, you need help in the bad times. You need people to be there for you, be present, and you borrow faith. You borrow courage from each other. You borrow each other's understanding of Scripture. You help each other move further along quicker. But also in the good times, it's saying, hey, I'm going to invite you into this part of my life, right? Like, you seem fun enough that I'd go play golf with you.
Yeah.
And we can talk about nothing.
Yeah.
Like nothing. Yeah. We're not going to touch on anything. And if our wives ask us, they'll be amazed that we don't know anything about what's going on in each other's lives. But I feel safe enough that if I needed to, I'm going to.
Right.
I mean, it's like, shout out to the married group we're in now. Our family's not here. We moved up here 1.5 years ago. But Seth's playing at Druid Hill Youth Sports. Shout out Druid Hill Youth Sports, Medlock Baseball. See some of y'all out there. But this year he had a game, and we were supposed to have group that night, and we said, hey guys, this is his only Monday night game, so no group tonight. You can either have a fun night or a free night. Fun night, come be in the cheering section for Seth. They showed up with signs made. They were going crazy, and Seth crushed it that game. Yeah, he crushed it.
Holy Spirit showed up.
I'm telling you what,
that night.
Fly ball, center field, smooth, got it. Right, it was beautiful. Right. And the parents afterward were like, can you guys come every week kind of thing to our group?
Who are these people in your life?
Yeah, so I think it's that. I think it's the attitude of, okay, I'm going to ask for help. And people will signal to you, don't ask me again. But if they respond and they say, yeah, I'm going to give it and I'll receive it, it starts something pretty transformational.
Yeah, that's right. Chris, last one. I want you to hit on an element, I think, of community that gets missed sometimes, and that is kind of mentorship. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's important to find somebody that's a few clicks down the road from you. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want to be who you are, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whether it be in your faith, whether it be in your parenting, your marriage, or just your life or whatever. Talk a little bit, because I feel like this has been part of your story. You've had a mentor for a while. Yeah. How does that come to be?
Yeah, I always think about back when I was in the business world, I never hesitated to look at a person that was a couple steps ahead of me and go, oh, I love the way they lead, or they're on this track and that's the track I want to be on. I'm going to ask them, you know, to go to coffee and because I see them ahead of me and that's what I want to do and that's where I want to be. But for some reason in our personal lives and even in our faith, we hesitate to do that. Yeah. And we shouldn't. And so, you know, I can remember I was new to church and I met with someone and I was interviewing with them. And I remember sitting there thinking, I want your job. And I want to be your friend. And those are the two things. And I mean, I hadn't only been in the church for like a year, so I knew I wasn't quite ready for that. And even in my faith, but I knew that that's where I wanted to be. And so just intentionally seeking out those people and asking them questions, asking them how they got there. And maybe for you, it's, hey, I really like the way someone's parenting. I'm about to come up on the teenage years and I've met someone who I think they do a great job. Like, ask them to coffee and don't show up to coffee and not come prepared with questions. Yeah. Like, you come and you lead that conversation and you say, hey, the reason why I asked you to coffee is because I really admire the way you do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it could even be in, you know, someone that you've seen here. And I get asked often, like, how do I find a mentor, especially in my faith or spiritually? And I would really encourage you to serve, because that's where you're going to be around like-minded people.
Be on a team somewhere.
Yeah, or even in a group it could happen too. But when you're on a team and you're seeing people and you get to see their kids are coming in and out, or, you know, and maybe they are someone that's in your field professionally. You never know. Yeah. But whatever that is, that next step, and someone who's a couple places ahead of you. And for me, a lot, it's just been – hey, I really see where they're going in their faith or how they spend time with their family and how they balance work and, you know, or being single. I'm a single adult, so being single and balancing work and what that looks like and how to put those boundaries in, because, you know, we can tend to just work all the time because I'm not running to a baseball game and have those kind of natural boundaries put in, but just being intentional, having the courage to ask. But if you're going to ask, make sure you're prepared to come with those questions. And eventually you can say, hey, would you read this book or listen to this podcast with me and
yeah,
do that.
David, I want to keep us on track, so I think it needs to be short, but I want to tell the importance of the other side of this. You had somebody in your life that was older that actually turned back around and said, I have something to give. Talk about that relationship with Rick.
Yeah, 100%. So when I came into that first church, there was this older guy, and he saw, you know, we were going through a turbulent time in my family, and he observed that. He saw that, and him and a bunch of other men, matter of fact, they just kind of swooped in a little bit, and they just made themselves available. Rick was really the first one, chatted me up in church, he kind of figured out I was a history buff. He was a Vietnam vet, loved history. He went on that way, and then he found out I worked at Cracker Barrel. And so he started coming to sit in my section with his wife, and they took way too much time at my table, but they tipped nice, and it was good conversation. But he slowly turned that conversation to Scripture. He noticed that I was carrying a Bible the first time. Hey, how's it going? Well, I'm reading it, don't really understand it. And he'd kind of throw questions. And eventually he invited me. He's like, hey, let's get together one-on-one. Happy to help guide you along. So we started meeting at Subway once a week. And that turned into me going to his house and his wife cooking us lunch on Sundays. And it developed into one of the most important friendships of my life. When I graduated from Bible College in Ohio, other than my family, Rick and Rebecca made the drive and came up there and celebrated with me. And they were just, they have always been, I wouldn't be where I am without Rick.
Yeah.
And because he showed me that, and I didn't realize it, how important it was at the time, but I slowly realized how important that was, how lucky I was that he made the effort. Like so many people, they see other folks, maybe they're older or maybe they're just in a later stage. And they think, oh, I've kind of done my time, I've served. But if you see somebody that you could make an investment into, that's what Rick did. And I've been looking for it ever since then. And I've intentionally, like Krista did, went to people and said, hey, can I take you to coffee? I'd love to just pick your brain.
Yeah, it's a lesson for those of us that are a little farther along in life that you feel like, I didn't do it perfect and I have a story to tell. I don't know it all. But to be able to say, I have something that I can share, whether it's a 30-year-old giving it to a 20-year-old or a 70-year-old giving it to a 50-year-old, somebody, you have something to turn back around and give and be that mentor for somebody else. All right, I want to turn the chapter real quick and talk a little bit about this concept of commission and what it means to walk into the world going, I don't think I've just ended up here. I think I'm here. I've been sent here with a mission to serve. David, talk a little bit about why someone needs to find an intentional time and a place to serve, whether it be here in the church, in the city, but to be able to have an answer to the question, if you're like, hey, where do you give back? Where are you a light, but also to a help in this world? What's your quick pitch for them?
I think it's just celebrating the reality that we received grace from God through Christ, but we also received gifts. Like, he has a plan for our life, but he also has a plan for us to be in his plan for somebody else. And I think we can think through all the reasons why we don't have time or it's risky, but there's such an opportunity cost to delaying that first step because you're just not present for these amazing moments, not only in your life, but in the lives of others that you could be present for. And I think that's what happens when you take that step, you put yourself out there, you experience these moments in other people's life that you just can't come back from. And, you know, those are some of the funnest stories to tell too, because you oftentimes think that what you're doing is not significant or it's not making that big of a difference. But then all of a sudden, like right in front of you, water turns into wine in some really cool way. And you're like, man, I just can't believe I was here and I was part of this.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest things is around here to, you know, we are always encouraging and pushing people and trying to inspire people to serve somewhere, whether it be here or it's whatever breaks your heart in our city. But to be able to have an answer for that. And, you know, even here, I tell people, go ask people that volunteer and serve here. No one here is on work release. You know, that's not why they serve. You know, they're not working off community service points. They actually are doing this because they want to. And part of that's because they've realized there's some, God gives me something in it, you know, when I do it. Krista, there's a passage in Ephesians 2:10 that says this, for we're God's handiwork, God's created us, and he says, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So it's part of this feature that he's given to us to give back out, not just to consume, but to be commissioned to do something. So we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. which is a concept that God has something for us out here, and whether or not we jump onto it or not is within our free will. But what does that verse mean to you? You know, what does it mean to you, and how should it apply to us as we look to serve in our world?
Yeah, I think that I often can look at serving as like, oh, it's one more thing for me to do, or I'm giving myself, and I give myself so much. But really, God uses serving to transform us, and we get so much from it, and we receive so much. And that's not why we should serve. I mean, we want to serve with a generous heart, but God really uses that to transform us. And I remember I was here; I'd been attending for about 3 or 4 months at the time, and Andy was doing his thing where he stood up and he was challenging everyone to serve. And he's like, "Hey, we really need help in our, and with our preschoolers and our elementary age kids." And he was like, "If you consider this your church home, I need you to volunteer. And if you're not willing to volunteer, we need your seat." I was like, "Ouch! Is he talking to me?
What? Yeah, exactly.
And so that's when I was like, "You know what? He's right. I have made the decision that this is my church home. Like, I knew the first Sunday I attended that this is where I wanted to be." And so I decided, all right, I'm going to give this a try. So I signed up to serve in Upstreet, and I did that for about 1.5 years. And God did use that to transform me in so many different ways. Like, I learned so much. I told you I kind of had a mixed bag of religion kind of coming at me and different ideologies. And I learned a lot through that process and serving. I also learned that I'm actually better with adults. So I started volunteering.
It's a hard lesson to learn, but you learned it. Yeah.
In our college ministry in doing that. But that really, when I realized he's right, if I'm going to be here, then I need to stake my flag in the ground and serve.
Yeah, that's so good. Real quick advice for the folks that are out there like, "No, I know I have gifts. I know I should probably serve, but I'm busy. I travel. We got kids at home. Yeah, I don't think I'm good enough." Give the quick pep talk on why they should serve here or somewhere in the city, whatever breaks their heart.
Yeah, I think you have to give yourself a little bit of a pep talk to know that God does a lot of really amazing things suddenly, kind of as you go along consistently. I mean, like, it's really hard to describe to a little boy when Seth was little, like, what I do for a living. So, like, "Dad, what are you going to go do today?" I'm like, "I'm going to go change the world." And I started off saying that kind of funny. And then he gets a little older one day. He doesn't want me to leave. And, "Dad, where are you going today?" And I was like, "Going to go change the world." And he was like, "Again?"
Yeah. And, "What'd you do last week?"
Right,
walk it down. Come on.
And I laughed. But there's so much truth in that. And that's kind of become like a little family motto now of that's kind of how it works, that God sent Christ and He's got this partnership between the divinity and humanity, and he wants to keep doing that. He sent his son, he poured out his spirit, and we really are the ones he wants to partner with to transform the world. And when we go out and we do that, and we just buy into that, we get to be present for that. I think that's what our service is, whether it's in the church or outside of the church. It's our witness and worship at the same time. And God doesn't waste space. He loves to transform two lives at one time.
Yeah.
So you just say, "All right, I'm going to put myself out there and experience that." And then you're never the same. You become so hard-headed about it that people think you're a little weird, but you know, it's more so wisdom than weirdness.
Yeah. Krista, quick advice?
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of tag on to what David says, like, you never know what hangs in the balance.
Right.
I think Andy says that a lot about different things, but it's even true in serving. You don't know the impact that you're going to have on a life, and you don't know that the impact that they're going to have on you. And one thing I want you guys to know is that we have so many different areas to serve in, and we just make it super easy for you.
Yeah.
And so if, you're kind of nervous about being in an environment with kids, like, we have people who run production. So if you're like, "I'd love to learn that," we have people who, push buttons and do lights and do the lyrics when kids are singing. So there's all different types of ways. If you're like, "Ooh, I'm not the one that's going to sit on the circle with these kids," like, we get that. Maybe you love to sing or act. We have storytellers. Like, we have just so many different places. And even in groups, like group leadership, if you're more, if adults are more your thing, I'd be happy to talk to you about that. And also, when you, if you ever come to us and fill out a form, if you go to DecaturCity.org/volunteer and you fill that out, like, you're just saying, "I want to have a conversation." And one of our staff members, Brianna, will actually set up a phone call with you because we want to help you take the next best step. We don't want you sitting somewhere where you feel like, "Ugh, I gotta go again." Like, we want you to be like, "I get to go again. This is so fun to do this." And so she'll talk with you through that, find out what you're passionate about, where you would be best to serve next. But we really do desire for you to take the best next step, not just to fill a gap that we have.
Yeah. Before we finish, David, I want you to talk a little bit about the Intersect Initiative, yep. because this is really, again, for people that are like, no, my heart is really bent toward our city, some of the needs in our city, and we've created this initiative with partnerships from amazing nonprofits that are all in our community that we vetted, and they have volunteer opportunities, and our mission is to connect them with funding through Be Rich, but also too with a lot of people that we hopefully inspire and send out to this. Talk a little bit about what real quickly what Intersect is, but also too maybe you profile a few of those partners for us.
Yeah, so you can learn a lot about those partners. We have a page, DecaturCity.org/in-the-community. We have Our House, we have Friends of Refugees, Convoy of Hope, folks that we've partnered with. But the thing I love about Intersect is we're helping people follow Jesus, and we're engaging them in opportunities to give, serve, and love right here in our community and around the world. And we have some that are right here in Decatur, some kind of like a little further out. Clarkston is a great example, Friends of Refugees. We have a guy who literally founded a ministry who donates bicycles to folks with transportation issues in Clarkston because he jumped in on a Be Rich Serve opportunity years ago, which Intersect is most known for, our annual generosity campaign with Be Rich. And we put together a bunch of opportunities that we fund, but also we serve opportunities where we go out together and serve. But it's an amazing way, like you said, to not only go with the folks that you worship with on a weekly basis, but you also meet the folks who are also invested in those organizations. And so for us, the win is moving you from ignorance to awareness, awareness to lifestyle, where you become connected to that partner, not just serving them through us, but we really just make the introduction. Your heart gets broken by the need that they're serving, and you develop a relationship with them. And we've seen so many folks in our church do that with multiple partners, which is awesome.
Yeah, and again, to remind you that we don't have the corner of the market on serving, too. I think you can DIY your own service. People come up to me all the time like, hey, I know I got to do the PTA thing, and I got to go in and read the book and those kind of things. Does that count as my service? And I'm like, maybe. I go, but how is your heart around that? You know, if something you do, you're like, no, I put a lot of time in, but I have to, or I'm obligated to, and I hate every bit of it, then I'm like, that's not really service. That's obligation. Mm. The service part of that, but I do believe you can turn those into service opportunities, too. And it's like the indicators typically, you know, are you a light when you walk into those environments? You know, when you serve in your kid's school, when you serve in your community, when you serve whatever you do in your neighborhood, are you a light that people, that draws people in, that they wonder why you serve the way you do? Why are you the only parent that has a good attitude? You know, what is it about you that kicks this up a notch? And so that I feel like there's a lot of built in too, but you know, depending on where you go and what's happening in your world, I think you can find places to serve as well. And also just to be a light, and that's really good. David hit a few links. Chris, I want you to finish today. If somebody is interested in pursuing community here, what's their best step to do that?
Yeah, we actually have our next groups that launch. They'll be in August, so we're about to come up on our connection season. So you can go to DecaturCity.org/groups, and there's a form there where you're signing up to register just for a text reminder of when groups open. They'll open on August 24th, but if you sign up for that text reminder, you will be the first to know when they open because they do go really quickly, and we want to make sure to get you guys connected into group. And if you're interested in leading a group, there's a little checkbox that you can check on there too. And David or I, one, will be reaching out to you just to answer any questions. Again, you're just saying you're willing to have a conversation. You're not just saying I'm leading. Yeah. And we'll make sure that that's the best next step for you.
Yeah, and that's an important that's important element for me is one that kind of leads this team that seeks to help you guys find steps into. If there's something I'm constantly saying to people that are like, I don't know that we have enough time, I don't know that I'm good enough, you will not find a more compassionate group of people than those that you talk to on the other end of a form that you fill out or an email or just showing up to say, hey, I can serve, but I travel, or I don't know that I'm going to be here every week. And we're like, no, you're every person here. And so know that if there's an obstacle that's in front of you, like, I don't know that this is for us because we can't fully commit. Nobody fully commits, you know. But we customize and we figure out what the best spot for you. It's a little bit like I'm never going to work out again because I can't be there every day. I'm like, you don't have to be there every day. But to be consistent, as David kind of said, as you move into it, then it eventually becomes a lifestyle, yeah, which is where we're shooting for. And so start that conversation, to Chris's point. Just begin to have that conversation. You're going to see opportunities to continue to pop up, to be in community, to be in service, and to make things happen here as well. And so we're excited to walk this journey for you because it really is. I mean, we would This is what we've built our strategy around, is to be able to be a church where people serve here, they serve for the next generation, they serve in our community, but also too, people are circling together, they're finding the impetus and the support to be able to take relationships to the next level so that we can get just above acquaintances, but you can move really truly into community. So David, will you pray for us on the way out today? And then I've got a quick announcement and then we'll head out.
Yes, sir. Father, we're grateful that you help us to know who you are and that you made it a part of our plan, made it your plan for us that we would go and we would see how much you love other people and you would show us how much you love other people by using us in their life. And my prayer is that everyone today just experiences you in a personal way. They walk out of here knowing that they understand you in a different way and that it just motivates us and that we have the courage to ask for help. We have the courage to raise our hand, but also just take that first step and then borrow faith and courage from other people. And God, I pray that whatever we do, that we'll get to see that impact and that transformation, not only in our lives, but in the lives of other people. And we're just so thankful that that's the way you've set this up, that you save us and send us. And we're grateful. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, as you walk out the door today, there's going to be a screen up here today that has the links of all of the websites we've talked about today. So if you want to take a snapshot of that and follow up on it a little bit later on, we'd love you to kind of pray about that, whether it be community or serving in some way, because we feel like those are the next steps headed forward. Also, too, as you walk out the door today, we're going to give you this little card. We've been working on our summer plan around Decatur City. So this will kind of give you a save the date for some of the dates that are coming up for some cool stuff that's happening. June 1st, we take Memorial Day weekend off. We won't meet on that Sunday, but then we come back strong on the 1st, and we kick off all of our kids' ministries, summer themes. June 22nd, we have summer sessions. We're doing two summer sessions, which are Sunday afternoon opportunities to come and to wrestle with a hard topic or to learn a little bit more. So those are kind of added in on Sunday afternoons to the summer. July 6th is the Sunday right after July 4th. That is our All-Star Special Sunday, which may or may not include catering for everybody from Waffle House. Spoiler alert, it will. And so that's a Waffle House Day. If you don't get anything else, come for that. July 10th, night of worship. And also, too, it ends up all the way down to the end of July with our big high school trip down to Daytona with all of North Point Ministries with IO Daytona. So fun summer lined up for us. You can always go to decaturcity.org/summer. That's where it's going to be online. And if you're not on our mailing list, we'd love for you to get on it. You can get on it on our website. You can go to our guest services teams, and they can plug you in as well. But that keeps you dialed into these things along the way. So thanks for being here today. We love you guys. Krista and David will be up here if you want to talk to them. Thanks for being an amazing church. We're so excited the road that God has us on. We'll see you back next week.